So if you've ever felt like your situation was hopeless or thought that the Lord had maybe failed you or hadn't come through for you, be encouraged because John 11 is for you. Now, John 11 is where we are today if you want to turn there. John 11 is a standout chapter in the Bible, and it records one of the greatest miracles in Jesus' ministry, which was the raising of Lazarus from the dead. Now, there's three times in the Bible where it's recorded that Jesus raised people from the dead. There was Jairus' daughter, there was the son of the widow of Nain, and then in our chapter today, Lazarus of Bethany. And this miracle is only recorded in the Gospel of John, and it brings us to our fifth I am statement of Christ. I am the resurrection and the life. Now, the first six verses of this chapter are packed with practical application for us as believers. So let's look at the call to Jesus and start in verse 1. Now, a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified by it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he stayed 2 days still in the same place where he was. So here we are introduced to the Bethany family, which consisted of Martha, Mary, and their brother Lazarus. Now it seemed that Martha was probably the oldest, and then Mary and Lazarus was the youngest brother. And Jesus called Bethany their town. Although there were many other people that lived in the town of Bethany, to Jesus it was their town because this family was important to them. So you think if Jesus says, Heather lives in Menifee, it's her town. That's where Heather lives. So he knows where we live, and we're important to him, and our towns stand out to him because we live there, because we're his children. Now, it's believed that the house was owned by Martha, and we know Martha, that she was a doer, right? And she was a busy bee, and she was always serving, which is not bad. It was a good thing, because we need someone to serve. But Martha, her sister, was quieter. She was more contemplative. She was a worshiper, and she loved to sit at Jesus' feet and hear his word. And she was the one who anointed the Lord's feet with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair. Now, Lazarus is known as the silent witness because, interestingly enough, he's never recorded as saying anything in the Bible. He probably because he had two sisters that did all the talking, right? I had three girls and one boy. And I tell you, my girls talked all the time. And my son, I'd pick him up from school and go, how was your day? Fine. What did you do? Nothing. My girls talked all the way home, you know, and told me about everything. So that's probably why Lazarus didn't talk so much. But Jesus loved this family and liked hanging out with them. It was a place where he could go and get away from the crowds and relax. And I love that. He came to this home and he was comfortable there. He rested and he was blessed by their fellowship and them, of course, by him as well. Now, my second daughter is named Bethany, and it actually means the house of figs, which isn't so great, but I like the name because it was a place where Jesus liked to hang out, where he liked to go. So So even though Jesus loved this family, it doesn't mean that they were free from troubles, because it says that Lazarus was sick. And this sick in the Greek means that he was deathly sick or sinking. So even though Jesus loved him, it didn't prevent him from getting sick. And sometimes we get the idea that if God really loves me, nothing bad will happen to me. Now, Boyce says Martha and Mary might have been surprised that he whom Jesus loved could get sick, but they needed to remember that Lazarus, even though loved by Jesus, was after all still just a man and was subject to the afflictions of this life. And we live in a fallen world where there's cancer, crime, sadness, and tragedies. So what good does it do to be a Christian, you may ask? Well, because as Christians, the Lord can use sickness for our good. He can use it to draw us closer to him and to speak to our hearts during that time. In Psalm 119:71, it says, "It was good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn your statutes." And God can also use our suffering and our sickness as a witness and a testimony to others when we are suffering. Now last Saturday, we had a celebration of life service for one of my good friend's son, who was 24 years old, who died of cancer. And this place was packed. It was filled with young college kids, water polo players. He was on the water polo team. He played in a worship team, and they were up here praising the Lord. It was such a testimony, his life and the way that he went through his suffering and continued to trust the Lord. And it was a testimony. Many people recommitted their life to the Lord. Many people got saved through his testimony because he remained faithful to the end. And he said that he felt like the Lord was holding his hand the whole time, all the way through. So God can also use our suffering as a witness and testimony to others, and he can comfort us, strengthen us, and be with us. And we know that he has a plan. So don't let the enemy cause you to doubt God's love during this time. And don't try to figure things out. Just rest and trust in him. William MacDonald said, "When sickness comes to our homes, we are not to conclude that God is displeased with us. Here, sickness was directly linked with his love, because the sister said, 'He whom you love is sick.'" So let's read in verse 3, "Therefore the sisters sent unto Jesus, saying, 'Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick.'" So what did the sisters do in their time of need? They brought their problem to Jesus. The two sisters are good examples for us, right? Because it's always good to bring our troubles to the Lord, to lay them at his feet. 1 Peter 5:7 says, "Casting all your care upon him, because he cares for you." Everything we can lay at Jesus' feet, big or small. He wants us to lay all our burdens at his feet. And notice that what their message said. They didn't ask him to even come, or they didn't even tell him what to do. They just said, "Lord, Lazarus is sick." That was their message. They didn't say, "Come quick," which I know they were hoping that he would. They didn't say, "Heal him," but they just said, "Lord, Lazarus is sick." They simply left it in the Lord's hands. And that's faith, when we can say, "Lord, you see my situation. You know what's going on. You know the needs in my marriage. You know my financial needs, my health needs. You know my kids' needs. And I just give them to you, Lord. I lay them at your feet. And after giving it to Jesus, the weight is not so great, right? Because he helps us carry the burden. And it's comforting to know that while Jesus does not always heal, he nevertheless sometimes heals and therefore may heal. So we can come humbly, not demanding, but asking. And after sending a brief message to Jesus, Martha and Mary felt sure that Jesus would come immediately and heal their brother. He loved them. He loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. But it took Jesus 4 days to get there because he waited. Now, it probably took the messenger 1 day to get to Jesus with the message. And then Jesus stayed 2 more days. And then 1 more day of travel, arriving 4 days after they sent the message. So Jesus waited long and seemed to be indifferent to their problem. But he's never indifferent. His delays are delays of love. They are not delays of indifference. He doesn't delay because he doesn't care. His delays are purposeful. He has a plan and a purpose. Now, we can't see the end from the beginning, and God's delays strengthen our faith because our faith grows when we're forced to wait. And we cannot expect to know all the answers or the reasons, but we can rest in knowing that the Lord knows, right? The Lord knows, and he has his purpose, he has his plan, he has his timing, if we can just trust him for his will to be done. Now, the sisters probably were watching hour by hour, looking out the window, waiting for Jesus to come. Come on, Lord, you got to come. He's getting really, really sick. You're late. Where are you? Why aren't you showing up? Day by day, but still Jesus didn't come. So let's read the coming of Jesus in verse 17. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had laid in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was near unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs, which is 2 miles away. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatever you will ask of God, he will give it to you. And Jesus said unto her, thy brother will rise again. And Martha said to him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Now again, and let's look at verse 21. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. Now, so Jesus finally comes after 4 days, and Martha meets him, and she says, Lord, why weren't you here? If you had been here, Lazarus had not died. And it seems that Martha was in some way scolding the Lord, that she was upset. But we don't know the meaning of her statement. Maybe it was just from her broken heart. But when you lose someone you love, you can ask, Lord, where were you? Why didn't you heal them? We prayed, but you didn't come through. Why, Lord? Now, the last several months, have been very hard for me. Seeing just so many precious brothers and sisters die of cancer, especially, I've just been really having a hard time with Harrison, my friend's son, kind of just going it through with her. And then our passing of our blessed brother James, I came to the point of going, Lord, I don't understand what you're doing. What's happening? I don't understand this. It was really, really hard. And I just, had a really hard time getting through. It was heartbreaking. But, we can ask the Lord why. It's okay. We can say, Lord, I don't understand. I don't understand why you would allow a 24-year-old healthy Christian young man to die of cancer. I don't understand why you would take James away from his young family. I don't understand, Lord, but the Lord knows. He has a reason beyond ours. He has a purpose, and we can trust him. Now, Jesus was urging Martha to believe his word, no matter how discouraging the circumstances might be. His message promised Lazarus' death would result in God's glory. And their situation seemed helpless, yet the sisters knew that Jesus was the master of every situation. And we can rest in that too. Even though our situation seems helpless, we can rest in the fact that the Lord is in control. Now Jesus declared, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. This is one of the most marvelous statements that Jesus ever made. So like the door, like the good shepherd, like the bread of life, Jesus himself personally is the resurrection and the life. Jesus moved resurrection out of a statement of faith into a person, out of the future into the present. In John 5:24, it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hears my word and believes on me, him that sent me, has everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death to life. Now Martha saw the resurrection as only a doctrine of a future event. But Jesus was talking about the present situation. He has the power and authority to resurrect and give life. And he is saying, he who has faith in me, even if he dies, will live again. And those believers who die will one day be raised from the dead, and some believers will never die, referring to the rapture, when Jesus returns in the air to take his people home. Those who are alive at his coming shall never die, but be changed and be caught up to meet him in the air. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds and meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Because Jesus is the resurrection and the life, we as believers have the expectation of seeing him, being like him, and living with him forever. What a blessing that we have the assurance and hope of eternal life, right? What would you do without that hope, without Jesus? When people die, when your loved ones die, without hope that they're going to heaven and that we're going to see them again. What a blessing that we have that hope. Now Jesus said to Martha, do you believe this? And she said, yes, Lord, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, who should come into the world. Now, here in this statement, Martha used three titles for Jesus. First, Lord, second, Christ, and third, the Son of God. And when she had said that, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly saying, "The Master has come and calls for you." Now, Mary is found three times in the Gospels, and each time she's sitting at the Lord's feet. In Luke 10:39, Mary sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. And then in our chapter here in verse 32, she fell at his feet. And then John 12:3, then took Mary a spikenard of ointment, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. In verse 32, it says, And when Mary was come where Jesus was, she saw him, and she fell at his feet, saying unto him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died." So where did you think she got that statement from? Her sister, right? It doesn't take a lot to spread unbelief, right? So Martha was saying, "Oh, if the Lord had been here, Lazarus hadn't died." So Mary said the same thing. They both were in doubt and in disbelief. So let's look at verse 33, the compassion of Jesus. And when Jesus therefore saw her weeping and the Jews also weeping who came with her, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled and said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, "Behold how he loved him." And some of them said, "Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died?" Jesus therefore again groaned in himself and came to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. So it says here in verse 35 that Jesus wept. He wept because he saw the pain and the sorrow that sin had brought into the world. In two other places in the New Testament, it shows us that Jesus sorrowed. He sorrowed over the city of Jerusalem, and he sorrowed in the Garden of Gethsemane. This shows us Jesus' heart, that he had sympathy and compassion, that he truly cares, and he cares for us. And he is compassionate toward all that we go through. And it shows us that he loves. And this is what the people there saw in his tears when they said, "Behold how he loves him," when they saw him weep. It was his tears that actually convinced them of his love. And do you know that God notices our tears too? He remembers our tears. Each tear, it says in Psalm 56:8, he puts our tears into a bottle. And that God will one day remove our tears forever. In heaven, the Lord's going to wipe away all tears from our eyes. There'll be no more crying, no more sorrow, no more pain, and no more sickness. So let's look now at the conquering Jesus in verse 39. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." And Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said to him, "Lord, by this time he stinks, for he has been dead 4 days." And Jesus said unto her, "Said I not unto you, if you would believe, that you should see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I knew that you heard me always, but because of the people who stand by, I said it that they may believe that you have sent me." And when he said that, when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a linen cloth. And Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. So first Jesus asked to take away the stone, then Martha responds and says, Lord, by this time he stinks. He'd been dead for 4 days. And then Jesus prayed to the Father, and he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came out of the tomb, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. So you can imagine what Martha and Mary and the people were so astonished, and they saw the Lord work beyond their dreams, to work the impossible, that he did this miracle before their very eyes in raising Lazarus from the dead and restoring him to life. Martha and Mary were filled with joy and praise and glory to God. And Jesus told them in verse 40, if you would believe, you would see the glory of God. Now, I wasn't raised in a Christian home. I got saved when I was 18. And I prayed and prayed for my parents and my sister to be saved, witnessing to them and trying to live, you know, a life to be an example to them. And believe it or not, before I was saved, when I was a rebellious teenager, I actually really hated my parents. I remember hating my parents. But I remember after I got saved, I had an unbelievable love for my parents instantly. I just had a change of heart. Well, my dad had been raised in a Baptist church, but I knew that he knew about the Lord, but he never really confessed the Lord or walked with the Lord. He came a few times to church when we maybe had our kids dedicated, and a few times he would pick up our kids, like to take them out for ice cream, and my kids would say, Granddaddy had Daddy on the radio, and he was listening to him. So there were little things like that that kind of gave me hope. But my dad got sick, and he went into an unconscious state. So he was in the hospital, and he was not able to talk or even squeeze your hand. There was no response, but all the nurses told me, keep talking to him, because he can still hear. So I spent the whole day and night just sobbing, reading scriptures to my dad, repeating the sinner's prayer over and over, pleading with him to come to the Lord. But he, like I said, he had no response, and he ended up dying. So he died in a question mark. I didn't have the assurance that my dad knew the Lord. And it was so heartbreaking to me. I just, you know, couldn't stand it, because I didn't know where he was. But that next day, in my Bible study reading, guess what chapter I was reading? John 11. And the Lord really spoke to me through this verse, if you will believe, you will see the glory of God. And the Lord just hit me with that verse to just believe, to trust him. And I had peace. And I felt like the Lord encouraged me through that verse. And it just goes to show you how important regular, consistent Bible study is, because it's unbelievable that what you are reading that very day will be just what you need and how the Lord wants to minister to you. And that's what happened to me. So in closing, I want to share, a few thoughts. This quote from Warren Worsby is actually in our study, but it was so good. God's love for his own is not a pampering love, it's a perfecting love. A fact that he loves us and we love him is no guarantee that we will be sheltered from the problems and the pains of this life. After all, the Father allowed his only Son to suffer and die on the cross. So, end quote for Warren Worsby. And when the Lord puts you in a place of difficulty, maybe he didn't come through for you. Maybe you feel like he failed, that he didn't answer your prayer. He wants you to trust him, even in the impossible. He is working in ways that you don't even know for his glory. The sisters saw the Lord work beyond their dreams and prove himself. And one day, we will view things from hill summits of glory and see things clearly in God's glory and plan. For now we see in a mirror darkly, but then face to face. For now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am known. But we must move from Lord, if, to yes, Lord, I believe. So let's pray.